I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, congregate living. Even if the term is unfamiliar, the situation probably isn't. If you've ever lived in a college dormitory, you've been in a congregate living situation, where you live side by side with other people, maybe sharing bedrooms, bathrooms, kitchens, and various public spaces. That term has taken on new importance now, especially in places like nursing homes. It's led Governor Roy Cooper to issue new rules.
We're focusing efforts on these congregate care institutions since the nature of the virus makes them easy targets for outbreaks.
Those outbreaks have already occurred at nursing homes in Johnston, Moore, and Orange counties, and the Butner Federal Prison.
Hi, my name is Courtney. I'm calling from Lumberton, North Carolina. My father is currently in prison at Butner, and it's just horrible. They're crowded. My father has diabetes. His health, not so good.
As the numbers of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths continue to climb, so do the number of survivors. The Department of Health and Human Services is not providing data on the number of people who have been treated and released from hospitals, but Dale Falwell is one of them. He's North Carolina's state treasurer. He spoke with WUNC's Jeff Tiberi.
I think the hardest moments were when my oxygen levels were starting to fall on Sunday and having conversations with my personal primary care physician who suggested I go into the hospital, and when you go into the hospital under that circumstance, my wife in this case dropped me off, and you say goodbye, and from there you're in the hands of these healthcare professionals as well as the God himself.
You've been with your wife for going on 40 years. What was that goodbye? What did that consist of? What was that like?
Well, it's just something I've never experienced before in my life. She's always been there for me, and I wasn't able to talk while I was in the hospital with anyone, but just the poems that she sent me while I was, that we first exchanged when we were married, and pictures of the house and pictures of the azaleas, and those are all things that made me want to focus not just on her behalf, but all of those that were sending their love and prayers forward.
In terms of the focus itself, the very functional focus, did you have to focus on your breathing? You know, this very routine thing we do all day, every day. Did you have to turn your attention to that? And if so, for how long?
That's what was the intense part, for about 48 hours. And the best way I can describe it to your listeners is you're breathing in as you're smelling, as if you're smelling a beautiful bouquet of roses. And then you're trying to slow down your breathing as if you're blowing out 60 candles on a birthday cake. And it takes a lot of mental energy to focus on the positivism of that.
This pandemic has sent the financial markets spiraling. North Carolina's pension fund is the ninth largest in the nation. When this whole thing started, it had $106 billion. What's the latest on how much that fund has right now?
Total assets are around $100 billion. Ironically, Jeff, just a few months ago, we had this portfolio stress tested for any kind of circumstance that would result in a severe economic decline. Probably 2 out of 10 of your listeners depend on this pension plan every 30 days, and we continue to be in the check delivering business. Most importantly, this plan has always been very conservatively managed, and whereas the stock market in general for the first quarter is down over 20%, our plan's down a little bit over 6%. There are some public pension plans who will not survive this, because they've lost so much money during this downturn, and the ability to fund these plans is not going to be there because of loss of business revenues. But I can assure your listeners that as keeper of the public purse in North Carolina is not in that condition at all.
Since taking office in 2017, you've been somewhat of an unapologetic fiscal conservative. In the past couple of years, there have been plenty who have criticized you for investing too conservatively and keeping too much money in cash reserves. You obviously had no idea this downturn was coming, but I'm wondering whether or not you feel some vindication in that approach.
Well, thank you for bringing it up. I didn't apply for the job to be Keeper of the Public Purse and State Treasurer on the basis of being a gambler or having a crystal ball. So you're exactly right. We had no way of knowing what was going on. What we do know is that we are not a college endowment. We're in the check delivering business. And the amount of money going out of the pension plan this year is going to be over $6 billion. And just a few short years from now, that number is going to be $9 billion. As interesting as your listeners are about, or as interested as they may be about life expectancies and investment returns, at the end of the day, as public servants, for those that teach and those that protect and those that otherwise serve, they want to make sure that this pension plan is there when it's needed and that we remain in the check delivering business. And that's exactly what has happened up to this point. So the criticism is goes back to something very simple for us. We are fiduciaries, which means we have a loyalty and duty of care to the participants in these plans and taxpayers like them. So our loyalty and duty of care is not to Wall Street, not to big health care or big pharma. Our loyalty and duty of care are to the participants in these plans, those that teach, those that protect, and those that otherwise serve. And as I said earlier, I'm proud to be part of a treasurer's office that has managed this plan so conservatively through this crisis.
A few years ago, during the Governor Pat McCrory administration, you served the role as a secretary of the Employment Security Division. That's the state agency overseeing unemployment applications and disbursement of benefits, and they are obviously seeing an unprecedented need for help and a number of people seeking relief. We're at about 500,000 people now who have applied for unemployment benefits in just a matter of weeks. Based on your experience, based on what you learned leading that agency, what advice would you offer?
My advice is for your listeners to pray for those folks. You have a fantastic team of individuals and leaders at the unemployment agency who have seen a massive increase in the number of claimants coming through the door as associated with people being unemployed. And I know for a personal fact that they were focused on the same things I was focused on when I was in charge of that agency, and that is that get the payments out correctly and quickly. And I can assure you they're going to do everything humanly possible to do that. Fortunately, there's nearly $4 billion in a surplus trust fund to pay these benefits out. So as the economy gets kickstarted again, we will not be asking employers for increased payroll taxes while we're asking them to retain and hire people. But similarly to what I'm doing now as a state treasurer and keeper of the public purse, all we do is we focus on saving money and making money for participants in these plans and taxpayers like them.
How are you feeling now, and when do you hope to return to the office?
Well, I'm working every day and involved in all kinds of decisions every day. My expectation based on doctor visits and the health department is that I'll be returning probably sooner than later, but only after I'm 100% sure that, to the extent anybody's sure about this, that that my return is not jeopardizing anybody else.
State Treasurer Dale Falwell speaking with WUNC's Jeff Tiberi. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Hi there. My name is Celeste Gracia, and I work with Dave at WUNC North Carolina Public Radio, which produces this podcast. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you are an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't do it without your help. So thank you, and if you are able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to increase your support.
Today was supposed to be opening day for the state's two most prominent minor league baseball teams. The Durham Bulls were scheduled to take on the Charlotte Knights. If the sports calendar hadn't completely shut down, the Carolina Hurricanes would likely be in the first round of the NHL playoffs, Duke might be hoisting a sixth national championship trophy in men's basketball, while Carolina, well, the Tar Heels basketball season was one of the few that mercifully ended before everything stopped. It's hard to predict how sports, like other aspects of life, will return to normal. It's rightfully not the focus right now, as a bearded UNC coach Roy Williams made clear in a Zoom call with reporters earlier this week.
It's such a weird that you can't see it, you can't have any idea what, so you don't know what to fight. And so just trying to take the advice of the scientists and the medical people and not the politicians, I think, is the best thing that can happen in the world right now.
People who work in the sports industry are among those across the state who have been furloughed or laid off and are now unemployed. Total unemployment filings for the past 3 weeks are around 450,000 statewide, one of the many numbers vastly more important than those on any scoreboard. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Lindsay Foster Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.